Well, later on, there is a very, very special treat. I won't spoil it for you, but there's a special greeting, a video greeting from the hospital. It is so nice to see. I will not spoil it for you. Later on, you will see it yourself. You know, it's just good to be able to see Pastor just strong, happy. Actually, he's still very much himself. Sharper than, as sharp as ever. You know, he will tell you later he's already planning for ministry. And it's just lovely to see that. So you'll see him for yourself later on. And this video is very recent. So I think it was yesterday only. Is that right? Yeah, yesterday only. So you'll see him for yourself. And then, you know, you can find a sense of assurance that the Lord is indeed hearing our prayers, that our prayers are not in vain, and that actually all the more we must continue to persevere in prayer. But it's just wonderful to see that. And special thanks to Dr. Tan Huichim for being there. Dr. Effie, if you are here, for being there as well. You know, without you, who else can be there in a time like this? You have special rights and privileges, and we just thank God for you, for your ministry to many people. And we really, really thank God. Well, we continue today with Psalm 119. We're going to pray and we're going to begin. Let's pray. Our Father, our hearts go up to you in thanksgiving for the God that you are, for being very much, very present, our help in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for being standing with us in the times that we struggle. Thank you, Lord, for standing with Pastor and with Auntie, for overseeing all things, for bringing them up to this point. And we ask that you continue to watch over them. And as we read your word today, we pray that what will stand out most to us at the end of the day is simply your word. We pray that you would teach us many, many lessons through your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, let's have a look at Psalm 119. And we are now at the 17th out of 22 segments in this psalm. It is quite a long psalm. Sometimes you almost call it a different psalm, but it's actually one long psalm, okay? Now, as we come, you know, we are bit by bit inching towards the end of Psalm 119 already, believe it or not. And one of the things we want to do is to ask ourselves, what is this psalm really all about at the end of the day? You know, if you recall at the beginning, Pastor actually asked, how many would like to have a journal? Do you remember this? A journal of, and then nobody said anything, so the idea disappeared. But actually, why did he raise this idea of a journal? Because Psalm 119 is like a journal. It's like a journal of a man who is really trying to make God's word a part of his life. And he's on a journey which he journals. And so, as we come towards the end of this journey, we see sides of him that have obviously grown. But in order to make that very clear, it's good to trace back to the beginning. I mean, that is the point of writing things down. Recently, we had quite an interesting thing that was done. This was my wife's idea. To get my parents, actually my parents-in-law, to write about their lives. To write about their lives. It was interesting to be able to see that. And, sorry? Okay, it's a private book. But it's interesting to be able to see that. But, you know, it's the point of this kind of journaling is so that you can refer back to the beginning. And then you can make sense of where you are on your journey, isn't it? So you go through much of life and you've gone through much, you've seen much. And that's the point of being able to go back to the beginning and say, this was where it all began. So we're going to do a little bit of that, open up the psalmist's journal, which is Psalm 119. And we're going to look at the first segment again, so that we can attain a better appreciation of where we are at this point of time. So let's take a look at the Psalm 119, verse 1 again. Okay, so just a few things to highlight. How did he even begin this journey? By way of a bit of a reminder. First, it began with his observations of people. He looked at the people around him and he said, these people are truly blessed. these people who know God's word and keep God's word, they are blessed. So we see blessed are the undefiled in the way. So he observes that. It's great to be able to observe. But at the same time, he realizes that in verse 5 we read that this is not him. He's not among the blessed. So he does a confession. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. See, I'm not keeping your statutes. I'm not keeping your word. I don't even know your word very well. And so I am not among the blessed. And there began his journey. How can I make God's word a real part of my life? So this is the beginning of it all. And then there he was, and he was very afraid of being forsaken by the Lord. And the determination is, I will now begin. I will now learn. I will now keep. That's the first Aleph. So now 17 segments later, is there any difference? Of course there is. And so now we turn to I don't know the Hebrew lettering. So it's a pair, I think pair. It's called, or pay. But basically it's verse 129, which is our text for today. And we notice a difference. The psalmist has grown. He has progressed. Let's look at this verse 129. And we read here, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Is there a difference? Yes. See, when he began, he wanted to learn, he wanted to keep. Why? Because he wanted to be among the blessed. He wanted God to bless his life. And he was very afraid of being forsaken by God. So keeping and learning is like, oh, I got to do it. I must do it. I better do it. You know, it's like children. You better learn this. You better learn your Chinese. You better learn your this. Otherwise you fail. Otherwise, that's the beginning. But by the time he reaches verse 129, it's a different story. Why does he want to keep God's word? Because your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. His reason has changed completely. He's attained a whole new level of appreciation for what the word of God is. In the past, I must, I better, I will. Now, I do it because it's wonderful. It's a different level entirely. And that's something that we very much hope to be able to see for ourselves. You know, for us, as we come towards the end of Psalm 119, it's worth asking ourselves, firstly, have we begun on a journey of wanting to really make God's word a part of our lives? And secondly, if we have, where are we on this journey? And for the psalmist, by the time he came to this part, he began to realize that this is because I keep it because it is truly wonderful. I mean, this is an appreciation of God's word, which honestly, it is not an easy situation to come to this point. Not easy path, right? So I ask myself, have I come to this point where I can say, I keep your testimonies because they are wonderful? I think not really. If I were to be very honest, I identify much more with the first 5 segments of Psalm 119. All the learning, the keeping, the struggle, the fear, the wanting to be blessed. You know, I'm more elementary. I would say in the journal, I'm at the earlier part. I'm at the primary school level. I wonder where you are at. You know, we talk about wanting to learn alongside each other. Well, this is me. Where are you at in terms of wanting to make God's word a part of your life? Because this sense of wonder is not an easy thing to capture. I mean, seriously. Right? You know, we travel around the world and we try to find different things that are going to help us capture wonder. But after a while, we've kind of seen it all. And it's not easy to capture this sense of wonder. Then the big question is, does the Word of God really capture this wonder for you? I mean, how do you know? It's listening to it preached, for example, and then saying to yourself, well, that was a really great, wonderful message. And the Word of God just stands out by itself for its own greatness, for its own glory. And it just comes through because it is the Word. That is a level of appreciation that is frankly not easy. Okay, and this is what we're looking at. So we're going to look at this whole journey over here. And it's not easy to appreciate. And I will be the first to admit, it is not easy to come to this level of understanding and appreciation where the Word of God is concerned. But the challenge is, can we at least begin the journey somewhere? That's the challenge. As in, if I were to humbly, you know, Pastor Wei says, you want to teach the Psalms, you want to teach Psalm 119, you better live it. You better make sure that it's within your field of experience, not just within what you say, not just about what you say. And so as I come to these later parts, I would have to tell you, these are not easy things to be able to say. I am more at the level of struggling. If I'm at this level, I will not be waiting for him to come back and take over SSS4. Because the Word will stand out, you see. And it will just stand out by itself, and you just want to preach it, you want to share it. He is at this level. Pastor Charles is at this level, where the Word stands out to him. You know, and so he will share at the video later. He's already planning for next year's family camp in the hospital. You see, the Word just stands out to him. And it just comes to him when he needs it. And then now at this point, he says, don't worry, I am not bored in the hospital. I am here doing all the things and I'm planning for the next stages. It just stands out. You know, I admire people who come to this level. I really, really admire these people. Right? Am I at that level? No. Humbly, I will tell you, no. That is not where I am. But I very much hope to be able to come to this level. You know, we've been preparing for the junior camp, and there is this person called William Tyndale, whom we are going to portray. Now, this is the person behind much of the translation of the New King or the King James Version. And he was the man who actually translated, because he knew eight languages. It's really, really European, English languages, and he knew Latin very well. So he was the man who took these phrases from the Greek and the Latin and gave us a lot of what we have today. So take, for example, a sower went out to sow, parable of the sower. Simple folk, almost like folk-like language. He was the one that put that and said, the Bible should be for the layman. The Bible should be for the plowboy. He should be able to read it and understand it. So he's the one who coined a lot of these phrases that we use today. You know, a lot of the sayings of the Lord Jesus, he's the one who translated them in a way that we can understand. So this is a man who, but we ask ourselves this, what did he pay for with this, for the Word of God to be translated? Well, as Pastor Ben said, he would pay with his life. That's what it is. There are people out there who just have an appreciation of the Word of God. Do you see such people, admire such people? I do. I really admire these people. There is this man, his name is A.W. Tozer. He writes books, and this person didn't go to seminary very much. How did he learn the Bible? He learned it in his basement. He learned it in prayer. He learned it reading on his own. And then bit by bit, you know, he began to understand it in a very, very special way. You see, this is a level of appreciation. You see, I can't speak of it myself, but I can only speak of people who have attained to these things here. But clearly, clearly, the psalmist has grown. Clearly. Clearly, he has changed. Clearly, he has progressed on this journey. And at the end of the day, that's the challenge. It's not to be able to say that, yes, this is me, when it is not. But it is to be able to say that I have grown somewhat through the 17 segments, through affliction, through pain, through reproach, through shame, through difficulties, we have grown in our own appreciation for the Word of God. That is the challenge. And so the word that Pastor uses here is this word called majesty in the notes, right? To be able to see the Lord's Word in all its majesty. Okay? Now, let's take a look at this second description that is very, very significant in verse 130. Okay? And we read here, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, this is another aspect of the Word of God which is truly, truly outstanding. The Word of God is meant to be our light. It is meant to enlighten our path. And so the famous verse, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does that mean? You know, but Pastor actually told us this before he left. He said, the word of God needs to be your light. So what does that mean? So we have a lamp here, for example, you have a lamp or a torchlight or whatever. That light is just enough to see what's in front of you. You won't be able to see if it is an old lamp as it, you know, as it would be in the early days. You're not going to be able to see that far, but you can see the next step. And so that light is just enough for you to make the next step and the next step and the next. That's what the Word of God is meant to be for us. It is meant to enlighten our darkness, teaching us to walk in the right ways. So this is what he said. And you know, this has been my prayer ever since. Because you see, when he's away here in the hospital, we no longer have a chance to interact with him as closely as we normally would, right? We hope to see him, we hope to talk to him, we hope to hear, imbibe, and then, you know, deliver. But this time round, he said, the word has to be your light. So every message for me, including this one, is, Lord, enough light for one step. This is the next message. So I'll be preaching this morning, so please pray for me. What is it? It's just enough light for just the next step. And that's it. It's just the word becomes a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. This is really, really important for us to be able to appreciate. You know, this is what it is. Beyond just even just preaching messages, this word has to be our light as well when it comes to pastoral work and pastoral leadership. You know, just this past week, you would think that, you know, when pastor's away, he's on medical leave, there are people out there who think that this is the right time to speak against him at this time. See, there are people. Remember we talk about, I hate the double-minded, I love your law. We talk about people who will be detractors. The people, they exist. And they are not, but they're not here in church, so don't worry. They're not amongst you. Don't worry, they're not in Bethany. But they exist overseas. And they will wait for the right moments. Pastors on medical leave, and then they speak out. And there are people out there who would say things against the church, against the leaders, against pastor, and trying to basically to divide the church there. So what do we do when things like that happen? What do we do? You know, this matter troubled me for a bit. It troubled Pastor Ben Kwa for a bit. And then, thankfully, pastor came to know about it. And then he said, this person, don't worry about him. Just sack him. So that was the end of it all. But you see, in pastoral leadership, this is just a little glimpse here. But in pastoral leadership, what is needed? See, this is where we learn. How else do we learn, right? Except by being put in the shoes like that, where he's not contactable and then there's us. So what do we do? It has to be the word that comes in. So the word came from the book of Titus. And it says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. When people are divisive, they will always try to divide. It is not one-off, it is who they are. And it betrays their very spirit. It betrays the kind of person that lurks inside them. So we look at these things here, and we take the light from the word, and first we ask, look at the behavior of this person. Is this person a divisive man? He's speaking against others, he's yelling against others, he's threatening people. That's one. Two, we look at the spirit of a person, right? And this is where we stand guided by the word of God. This is an arrogant spirit, a rebellious spirit. You will not obey, reject a divisive man. And so thankfully, pastor came to know about it in the end and then just said, okay, we just sack him. So this is a person that was on our staff. We had to sack him. And that's what it is. But it is the light of the word of God. And I think for us, we really appreciate this perhaps a bit more now because we're placed in this position where we may not be able to contact pastor and then you have to make some kind of decision along the way. Thankfully, we still have not had to do that because it is still made by him. The decision to sack is not made by us, it's made by him. But there we go, light. Every step of the way, there has to be light. You know, I just come to appreciate this a whole lot more during this time. The word is not just something you know, it is a light to our path. It shows us what our next step will be. It allows us to step correctly rather than to take a misstep. And if that light is constantly before us, like a lamp, then we will be able to walk aright. So this is a real challenge and a description. Okay? So we cannot but lead by the light of the word. We cannot but lead. We cannot lead in the principles of the world. We cannot lead by secular ideas. We have to lead by the light of the word of God. This is where these things come in. But this is an appreciation, this is an understanding of the word of God, which is not easy because it is a pretty high level. And this is where the Apostle Paul prays in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. This is the prayer that he makes. The Spirit of God will give wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of the understanding, the eyes of the heart will be enlightened and we will see. So I was talking to Pastor recently about this before he went for surgery, and he said, I asked him, what does it mean to be able to see? He said, when your eyes are really truly enlightened by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, you will be able to know how to do any and everything. I said, wow, serious? that is different level. He said, yeah. He said, junior camp, you'll know what to do. I said, serious? You know, any ministry, seniors ministry, you'll know how to go about it. You'll know how to go about it. I said, wow, that is different. That is different. But you see, that's what we all look at and we all admire, and we just, this is a level that we hope to be able to come to one day. Well, at least I do. I hope very much to be able to come to this kind of level one day. But this is a marvelous description. But can you see the difference as you look at the Aleph and you look at here? Do you see the big difference? Aleph, he was struggling, right? Aleph, he did not learn, he did not keep, he was afraid of being forsaken. That's where he was. But by the time he came here, there is a huge difference. He now sees the Word of God as his light. He now sees the wonder of it. He now sees the majesty of the Word of God. He has grown. He has changed. This is the challenge for us. Can we learn? Can we grow? Can we change even in the later years of our lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's just amazing to be able to think about it. Right, we have people who didn't write poetry at first and now write poetry every week. How did that happen? There has to be some level of growth and change along the way. Right, so Pastor Ben mentioned Auntie Jessie last week. There she was at the CAT class. And now poetry every week, hopefully every week. And I remember the interview that we did with her and with Dr. Kong Yang, and their process is very different. But to be able to internalize the Word of God until it is truly light for you, and it brings light to the soul. It brings light in dark moments. It brings joy and encouragement. It helps us to live. That is growth. And the challenge of it all is to be able to see growth from the beginning until now. So I wonder if we can calculate SSS4. How many years have we been existing as an SSS4? Do we know? The class monitress, is she around? She's not around. So I don't know. But I think it's been some years. It's been some years. Remember when we used to be, not everyone is here, of course, but we started at the level, the old building, in fact, at the office. Yeah, how many years? 13 years. Yeah, my father-in-law, all facts and figures inside here. 13 years. So we used to be there at the office. Remember when we learned Greek? That was when we first started. And our first task, the two of us, was, hey, do some Greek and then share it with the class. And then, you all, we also, So that was Greek, and then, okay, no Greek, then we went to the Audi, and then it became too big, and then now it's way too big. Yeah, it is very big. Do you know there are some weeks that there's not a single chair left in there? Yeah, and it's really, really crowded. But apart from size, apart from years, apart from time, apart from books, personally, can we see ourselves progress? That's the challenge. That is a huge challenge. You know, it's always a joy to be able to see people really internalize and imbibe God's word. And I want to tell you, I admire you. Those of you who can write poems. I try, you know. I try. But I'm not there yet. So not yet. Your testimonies are wonderful. Still, Aleph, Bet, the first few parts, Stranger in the Earth, maybe I write that. But not yet. Maybe one day, but not yet. But you know, I admire those of you who can do that. So we want to encourage you to write. So quite a few of you have actually written for the testimony booklet. That's great. And we'll continue to work with you on that. But this is the challenge. It's just growth. It's just progress. That's the challenge. Okay, now we look. Look at 131. We go on and it talks about this sense of longing. Now I just want to ask you this. What is it that you really long for? I mean, in the older years of your life, what do you long for? Some of you long for your children because they're overseas. You hope to be able to be with them, spend a bit of time with them. What does the heart really long for? So that's a great question. You know, and I ask myself this too. What does my heart long for? Now, I look at Pastor and obviously I admire him for many reasons. So many of us admire him for many reasons. Some admire him because from where he was, he rose up to where he is now. Some of us admire him for his sheer perseverance, right? What is it that we really, really long for at the end of the day? I just ask myself, if there's one thing from him that I could have, what is that? What would that be? And it's this thing. It is the ability to open up the Word of God the way that he can. That's all I ask. But actually, that is also the secret of his ministry. Everywhere he goes, this is his method. We saw that most recently at the Bethel family camp. And there he was, first, ability to size up the issues. So he goes there, look at the church, straight away, he will size them up. These are all your issues and your challenges. Number two, he will be able to bring a relevant word to them. And number three, he will trust God to work. The Spirit of God to do a very special work in the heart of people, to stir the heart, to touch the heart. As it says in our motto, God is touching hearts, where hearts are touched. That's what it's all about. It's the same methodology everywhere. We see this in Bethel, in Australia. We see this in India too, by the way. In spite of he will speak, and then the other, and then he will speak, and then the other will say, blah, 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 blah. Then Pastor will say, why do you have to translate in like shouting at them? Then when they do their sharing, blah, 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 then they don't know what they're talking about. But the tone of it can be a bit fierce. Then you're wondering, how come they are like scolding their people? So those were the days where we went with him to India, and it was always, it was very funny. Myanmar, he would be very stern with them. I think this time he's the one very fierce, almost bring the house down, you know. Then the translator is trying to catch up with him. And but you know what? All these years, this is his methodology. The Word of God opened up. The Word of God opened up. Hearts touched. Lives changed. People drawn to God. Growth. Growth. And that's what we see over these years all the time. What do I long for? I just wonder, do you long for the Word of God? Do you long to know it at a deeper level? Do you long for it to be your light? How much do you actually long for it? Well, the longing of my heart at this point of time is really just to be able to reach another level, to go to another level. You see, in this transitory period, the challenge is to immerse myself. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, ask and it shall be given to you. But he didn't stop there. If it is simply a matter of asking, it is. But some matters in life are not about asking alone. Some matters require us to seek. And the psalmist will say, seek with your whole heart. And if we seek, then we will find. And the converse is also true. If we don't seek, we also will not find. So this is a season of seeking to me, not merely asking. This is a time where much is at stake. Right? Because this is a marker of true spiritual leadership. The handling of the word. This is the thing that will enlighten our path. This is the thing that will feed and sustain the church. Without it, we will be very much in the dark. What is it that you really, really long for at the end of the day? For me, this longing reflects a few things. One, it has to reflect intensity. It has to reflect a sustained level of intensive seeking. It has to reflect an immersion in the Word of God, to seek until it is found. See, this is a different level. I hope you appreciate when we read this. It's not the same anymore. He's changed. He's grown. And along the way, somewhere in our heart is learning to love God's Word. Is that happening for you, I wonder, over the 13 years that we have been here? Ministry aside, family aside, everything aside, one thing. Do we love God's Word a little bit more? If you were to look at the previous segment, the psalmist would actually say, "Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." So that's a good question. If you put it into monetary value, dollars and cents, how much would you pay to gain a better understanding of God's Word? That's a great question. He says, "I love your testimonies more than gold," right? So how much would we actually pay if there was a monetary value to it? That's a great question. I don't have much to pay, so I don't. But what would you do? See, that's what love has to be all about. You know, and so as we come to the later part of it, see, it just flows through from there. One is to see God's Word at a level that, or as a different level, right? The majesty of it all. And then to be able to talk about the sense of longing that is there. And then verse 132 onwards, these are prayers. And I want to say that every single prayer here is relevant. Every single prayer here is important. Okay, one, we look at it. This is a prayer for mercy. And you know, we humbly recognize our need for mercy. We need the Lord. We need His Word in our lives. Without Him, what will we do? We will be lost. We will be in the dark. We need the Lord. So we pray, "Look down, look upon me, and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name." There's a prayer for mercy. It's a wonderful prayer to be able to make, right? And then the next prayer, "Direct my steps by your word." This is very similar to this whole description of the Lord's word as a lamp. Direct my steps. It will be one step at a time. One step, one foot in front of the other. Direct my steps by your word. And then the next one, "Let no iniquity have dominion over me." What is the one thing that will hinder us from being able to learn and love God's word? Iniquity. Iniquity is that part of us that is prone to sin. That part of us that is prone to straying from God. That part of us that self comes in. So we talk about this fellow who wanted to speak out against the church, against pastor himself also, by the way. What is the problem with this person? It's an iniquity problem. And you cannot negotiate with iniquity. You either repent or you are out. You cannot negotiate with iniquity. This is the sin problem that is very, very real. So this is where the prayer is made. "Let no iniquity have dominion over me." Because if we give iniquity half a chance, it will dominate our lives. That's what sin wants to do, to take dominion, to sit as king, to reign as king over our lives. And the challenge is not, the prayer is, "Lord, don't let this happen." We will never be perfect people. We will never be sinless people. But neither will we let sin dominate. That's why this prayer is significant. So we look at this here. "Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may keep your precepts." You know, sometimes the very people that stop the Word of God from being opened is men. Is that possible? Absolutely. Redeem us from this situation. Right? So if you take, for example, this person called William Tyndale. Who was stopping him? Who was the one that was? There was another guy. His name is Thomas More. And so the two of them, they had a writing battle. William Tyndale said, "The Word of God must be given to the masses." Thomas More says, "You are sowing discord in the church." Of course, the church as he understood it, the Catholic Church. And so there was a battle and a war of words. And then this, in the end, what happened over here is that Tyndale was burned at the stake. So this is what it, sometimes the very people that stop this from happening are men. And our prayer here is, Lord, redeem. Redeem me from the oppression of men. 135. At the end of the day, what is the desire, the heart's desire of every good servant of God? It's just this. Make your face shine upon your servant. I just want you to be pleased with me. That is what every good servant wants from his master. You know, normally when we speak in the past, that the two of us, when we used to speak, pastor would say, I'll sit behind or I'll sit in front. Nowadays, it doesn't happen, except for the morning worship service. But he would actually, like cat class at the time, he would sit down there and watch us. And you just watch him, and you just, and then there's always a post-review at the end of it all. What's the greatest desire of the heart? That he be happy with what you just did. Seriously. That is the greatest desire of the heart. So later on, when you see his face, and you see his face happy and shining and strong, what would you feel? You're just happy, joyful, moved even, when you see that. See, this is the heart of every good servant of God. Just want to make his master pleased. Just want to be able to do well enough to make you proud. That's it. This is what the prayer is. Make your face shine upon your servant. You see, to me, every single one of these prayers is relevant. Every single one. A prayer for mercy, a prayer for direction, a prayer that iniquity not dominate, a prayer for redemption. And a prayer that at the end of the day, the favor of the Lord will shine. That he will be pleased with us. That we would have lived our lives well. So the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This is what it's all about. And I wonder what that is like for you. You know, you have much experience behind you. You have lived, you have experienced, you have known, you have attained to levels that I have not. And that is why Pastor says, listen, help us. Help us, right? Help us to become the kind of pastors you want us to be, right? But you see, this is a journey. Share with us your journey, will you? You think that would be interesting if we have a class where you actually share your journey? Then we don't need to teach. Very clever. But that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Just to be able to say, this is my journey with the Word of God. These are the things that have impacted me. This is my reason why the Word of God stands out so much to me. And these are my prayers that I make. See, I like the way that this comes to a close here. The final prayer, 135. Teach me. It's the same prayer he made right from the beginning. Teach me. Teach me as if I know nothing. Teach me as if I've experienced nothing. I'm a blank slate. I'm a blank canvas. Teach me. This is what I intend to say to Pastor when he comes back. Teach me. We need to learn from you. We need you around for a few years more at least. Teach me. This is what it is. And I look at this and I just want to tell you that at the end of the day, I cannot say that I live out these things, but I can say I long for them. I can say I long for them with a certain level of intensity, which is getting more intense. So I tell my wife that during this season of transition, and if Pastor's not around, I've got to work harder. Okay, so please, I just told her, I don't take for granted. I don't take you for granted. I don't take for granted that you just be there. So I've got to have conversations about this. If I work later, go into church earlier, I don't see the kids as much, and you do a little bit more, is that all right with you? And her answer is, of course, do what you need to do. We're just going to be here. But I appreciate that very, very much, really, because I am going to enter into a different level of seeking. We must. I don't see how we can continue as per normal. I don't see how that is possible. If we understand the situation, we, as a team, are responsible to bring light of God's word to you. We are responsible. Just the way you are responsible for your kids. and your family. Just the way you feel the sense of responsibility to provide, to be there, to lead, to guide, to feed. So it is with the pastors. We've got to have the Word of God open to us, or else. That's what I feel in my heart during this season. And this is what it is. The challenge is, you know, to really look at it and say, for me, there are lessons that need to be learned, of course. But there are lessons for all of us too. 13 years. How much have we progressed in our love for God's Word? How much more of it has it been a part of you? How much more has it become a part of you? How much more is it imbibed, immersed into your daily life? These are wonderful questions. And if you can answer them and you say, yes, 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 13 years I have seen, I have known, I have grown, then talk to us and maybe we can have a testimony sharing lesson instead. Because that's what it's all about. It's real life journey, right? Psalm 119, this is not doctrine in the sense of teaching and instruction, not so much of that. It's a journal. It's personal. It's the experience of it all. It's the afflictions that he has gone through. It's the challenges he has faced. And he comes out stronger, better, wiser because of the Word of God. This is what the Word of God should be doing in our lives. And this is what should be there very, very much. So what is it we hope to see for ourselves at the end of the day? Go back to the verse 1. That people will look at us, SSS 4, and say, these are very blessed people. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, who seek him with the whole heart. They do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Then others will look at you and say, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, that I may be like, underline, a member, whichever member of SSS 4. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's the goal of this whole series. So this is the challenge here that we're looking at, and it's wonderful. So, you know, just want to encourage you to just keep on looking at, reflecting at on all of these things here. And, you know, perhaps you would be able to share something, say something that is going to be very, very helpful. Okay? So if you have written already, I also do want to encourage you to relook at it for some and just ask yourself, go back to this again and say, you know, what is that word that really stands out to me? Can I share something with someone? Apart from what I experience, what is the word itself that can be there? That will be something really, really good to be able to see. Okay? So I hope that you would be encouraged to keep on reading the Lord's Word. Okay, here's where I ask this question. Any questions, anyone? Just in case you have something you want to raise or some level of interaction. It doesn't have to be a question. You can say what is on your mind and heart, what you feel at this present moment. We'll be very happy to hear from you. And if you have something to encourage everyone by, that is the best. Okay, over to you. Anyone has any interaction? Anything at all that you want to say? Nothing? Okay, never mind. We still have 4 more sessions of Psalm 119 before we come to the end. But, you know, just take a bit of time to reflect and say, how have I really learned to treasure God's Word a little bit more? For us, there are many things to learn, but same for all of you as well. We learn together. That's the point of being a Sunday school class. We learn together and we grow together. Okay? Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we turn to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given to us all these years. This wonderful church, all your wonderful blessings. And as we begin to reflect, we realize how central your word is in all of these things. For from your word flows blessing, flows direction, flows life, joy, everything that makes life meaningful. We pray that you teach us to love your word a little bit more, to treasure it deep within our heart, and to grow in our own appreciation of it. We pray very much for each and everyone at SSS4, that together we will always learn how to be there for each other, learn how to care for each other, and learn how to share your word with each other. We ask for your grace to be given, strengthen us, encourage us, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.